In the 1990s, fueled by dot-com riches, land in industrial cities in the first world was gobbled up. As available sites disappeared, developers and planners began eyeing some of the last available large tracts, rail yards. In New York, a plan for a stadium began to form. In London, an Olympic park. In Paris, an Olympic village.
Vous êtes ici dans un arrondissement, une partie de Paris qui a 170 000 habitants.
In a shed in the rail yards in a northern neighborhood of Paris, city councillor Françoise de Panafieux describes her neighborhood, known as Les Batignolles. There are 170,000 residents, she says, as many as in some of the larger cities in France. But the neighborhood is bisected by the rail yards. Jérôme L'Enfant, the media relations director for Paris 2012, stands next to a large pole circled with five brightly colored neon Olympic rings.
As you see, there are today warehouses and rail. There will be tomorrow a 10-hectare park. And around this 10-hectare park, there will be houses. There will be schools, there will be a new city in the city of Paris. And the legacy.
In Paris, as in New York and London for that matter, reclaiming rail yards is central to the Olympic bid. In all these cities, Olympic planners see brand new parks that will reconnect long disused neighborhoods. But in Paris, there is no stadium envisioned atop the rail yards. There are solar panels. Jérôme Lafont.
Part of the rail yards will just disappear. And the used railroads will be covered, and on the top of this you will have mirrors that will produce electricity, energy for the village itself.
Jules Dier was put in charge of developing environmental plans for the 2012 Olympics. As he began to think about the village, he realized he could plan a model environmental neighborhood in the middle of one of the world's largest cities.
Ça veut dire que toute l'énergie du village sera entièrement produite sur place.
What Dier says is all the energy for the Olympic Village would be produced on site, making it the densest neighborhood in the world to have zero CO2 emissions.
On va recirculer quasiment toutes les eaux pluviales, les eaux grises et les eaux des bains, des cuisines et les
The wastewater from baths and kitchens would be cleaned and recirculated. The black water from toilets would be treated on site.
Et recyclé.
There are environmental visions for New York's Olympic Village too. Organizers want it to rely on renewable energy sources and minimize carbon dioxide emissions and water use. But the plan isn't as far-reaching as the Paris design. NYC 2012 officials say Parisian planners have a luxury New Yorkers don't. The Paris Olympic plan is two-thirds financed by national, regional, and local governments. Where New York City is a net exporter of federal tax dollars, Paris, the seat of the national government, is a net importer. Etienne Taubois, the director of sports planning for Paris 2012, says the French expect their government to fund big projects.
Actually, sports is a very, very popular thing in France, and the public institutions already do invest a lot in sports and in sports equipment in France. So it's normal. It's the way it is here.
Indeed, outside Paris's City Hall, subway conductor Thomas Didier says he hopes the Games do come to Paris. Even if it costs a lot of money?
Même si ça coûte cher?
L'avenir nous le dira. Pour l'argent, je préfère qu'ils le mettent dans les Jeux Olympiques, dans des puissances nucléaires ou dans l'armement.
I'd rather they spend it on this, he says, than on nuclear power or armaments. It provides more of a benefit to all the people.
Pour tous les peuples.
Parisians do expect their government to provide state-of-the-art services. During the recent national strike, the French were shocked at having to wait up to 8 minutes for a metro, as opposed to the usual three. This is a city with a long tradition of urban planning. More than 150 years ago, Baron Haussmann plotted out the wide boulevards. That plan is largely intact today, since the city was occupied, not bombed, during World War II. About a decade ago, France decided to build a stadium for the 1998 World Soccer Cup, the Stade de France. The stadium is the site for all sorts of civic events, from ice car racing to opera. The stadium is located on the northern edge of Paris, served by two train lines. According to Pascal Simonon, the director of the authority that runs the Stade de France, the stadium has never lost money.
En clair, nous ne sommes pas un éléphant blanc.
We are not, he said, a white elephant. Paris 2012 spokesman Jérôme L'Enfant says the stadium is just another example of French savoir-faire, know-how.
Et c'est un exemple, sans doute, sans arrogance, du savoir-faire français en matière de conception et de gestion de grandes infrastructures.
Without arrogance, he said, the French know how to think up and build grand structures. Small ones, too. This is a country where cooks can clip off the top of a boiled egg, empty the shell, and fill it with foie gras. Attention to elegant details is evident in the Olympic proposal. The bid committee has been outfitted with Givenchy suits. Bridges over the River Seine are lit up at night with the five Olympic colors. But all of this flair may have a downside for Paris's Olympic hopes. One of the criteria for the International Olympic Committee is that the Olympics will have a transformative effect on a host city. So I asked the mayor of Paris, Bertrand Delanoë, whether Paris won't do all these things, rebuild the north of Paris, build new sports facilities and parks, without the Olympics.
Paris a besoin des Jeux. Paris a besoin de Jeux. Bien sûr, Paris est une ville qui gardera son identité, son âme, son histoire.
Delanoë gave the politic answer. We do need the Olympics, he said, though Paris will keep her identity, her soul, her history. If we get the Games, we will be totally changed. London and New York may be able to make more of an argument for the transformative effects of the Games. In London, that the Olympics would bring housing and economic regeneration to a poor neighborhood. In New York, that the Olympics would create parks and open up access to the waterfront. Outside Paris City Hall, union worker Sylvie Villette wasn't trying to argue the Olympics would change her city.
Je me suis rappelé de la Coupe du Monde 1998, et c'était fantastique.
I remember the 1998 World Cup, she said, and it was fantastic. There was an extraordinary atmosphere.
C'était vraiment chouette. Alors je me suis dit.
It was, she said, really cool. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.